Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
It's Pod Squad time, where we separate the audio gold from the audio grim. I'm delighted to be joined today by the wonderful team of News Talk's tech correspondent Jess Kelly and entertainment journalist Rory Cashin. But first, let's have a listen to what you can expect from Generation Y.
The officers have him stand spread eagle against the wall and they handcuff him. But then he's thinking, wait a minute, don't they usually frisk you? Because an officer needs to make sure they're safe. But he's not frisked. And it's at that point that Abba says he figures, wait a minute, there's something fishy here. This isn't normal. So this other guard arrives and they put him in handcuffs. And he asks them, why are you arresting me? And one of the men says, you're not being arrested. This is a robbery. Don't give us any problems and you won't get hurt. The guard says back, don't worry, they don't pay me enough to get hurt. That's a line that goes straight to your heart, does it, Justin?
Yeah.
Jess Kelly, Rory Cashin, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello.
This is an interesting one, Generation Y. Jess, had you heard about this podcast?
I hadn't, and I'm surprised that I hadn't, because it's been going on since around 2012. It seems to have been one of the early doors podcasts. And the premise is quite simple in that it's two people who are good friends and true crime junkies, and they just talk through different cases. And it's not a format that is unheard of. This is something that happens quite a bit. But as I said, this is a long running one. So they've done quite a number of cases over the last eight or nearly 10 years now, I suppose, when you look at all of the episodes they have. And they're quite thorough is the language I would use to describe it. They're very thorough.
Are you being kind? Is that a nice way of saying it's very long winded?
It's very long. The episodes go on for days. Like, it's about an hour.
It's an hour
episode.
Long. It's a chunky hour, isn't it?
Some of them are longer again.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Like, I went all the way back to as far as I could get available still on the internet. And it was a 2014 episode, which was episode 91. And it's to do with the Cleveland Strangler. And that one feels quite different to some of the episodes that are more recent, because it seems like it's just a one-on-one between one of the hosts and the author of a book who was also investigating the Cleveland Strangler murders.
Mm-hmm.
And that one goes on for an hour and a half. And to be honest, that one zipped by. But there are other ones, like that episode you just played a clip from, which is, I think, one of the very recent episodes. And it does just kind of drag a little bit.
Do you know, I find it so interesting that you say the earlier episodes were sort of interview-based, because Anne and I were chatting earlier on, and like, I love warm radio and I love warm podcasts where it feels
you
like
you must love this show then, too.
Absolutely glued to it. But you know the thing when it feels like you're earwigging on conversations, friends having a chat? I love that. And there's no denying that these two lads, the two presenters, Aaron and Justin, get on well. But I found it very long, very meandering. And I've managed to pinpoint what irks me slightly about this podcast.
Go for it.
It's two lads having a chat about murders. And they present everything in the same tone of voice. So where they speculate or pontificate about what could have happened, it's presented as if it's fact. And that to me kind of grosses me out slightly when it comes to murders or unsolved missing people cases and so on. It's very, like, I got the impression of the episode that I listened to one about the story of Jessica Chambers, a story I didn't know at all. And I thought it was quite interesting, but you're 3 minutes, 10 seconds with ads and preamble before they get into plugging a live event that they're appearing on. Then they start talking about the case. Then they go down tangents. And it's just, I found it didn't really keep my attention that well, I have to be honest.
Yeah. Well, listen, you have to be honest. That's what the item is about. And you're absolutely right to be.
I'm trying my best.
Would you be into true crime? Because I'm really squeamish about true crime generally, so I wouldn't be seeking it out. But would you be listening to that?
In some instances, yes. I love reading about true crime. I've kind of gone off listening to podcasts about true crime the last wee while because I feel they're a little bit gratuitous. And I find that they're kind of, like, they're making their dollar bills from murder. And this is the exact type of one that I don't like, where there is speculation. Mm. And, you know, in the Jessica Chambers episode, you know, they were making assumptions without providing sources. You know, they were saying, oh, well, she, of course, was into X, Y, and Z. And you're like, well, where are you getting that? Are you getting that from Reddit? They're kind of like, you know, on, I don't know if you remember the story of Gabby Petito, who went missing and was ultimately murdered by her boyfriend. And when she went missing, all these TikTok detectives appeared on the platform and they were providing their hot takes of what happened and where the police should look and all the rest. This podcast has a touch of that.
Yeah.
The armchair detective. And I just, I don't know that I loved it.
What about you, Rory?
Yeah, no, I think some of the great podcasts can be about true crime, like Serial, obviously, and S-Town, and there's been fantastic examples of it. And this one does kind of meander between different types of true crime, because, the clip you just played from is from a museum heist. The episode that I listened back to was a serial killer. So there is different types of crimes if you aren't necessarily wanting to check out some of the more squeamish stuff. But I did find there's a phenomenon that I think needs to be like looked into, and it's the podcast voice where it sounds almost performative. You can hear what the two lads, when they're talking to themselves, you can hear moments and snippets of what they just must sound like if you're just talking to them normally in the street.
Yeah.
And then there's parts where it sounds a bit scripted, and all of a sudden their voice goes a bit more dry and they enjoy elongating every word
out. Yeah.
And they like to, and it really sounds like they love the sound of their own voice when they're doing that. And that, to me, it was like, can you stop doing that and just
I actually thought that's an interesting observation, Rory, because I thought listening to them, they're clearly two friends. They've honed their craft. They're into the episode I listened to was 576. So, you know, they have this down. And I think the rhythm between them is just impeccable.
Oh, yeah.
It's so lovely. Impeccable that it's like it's heavily produced, I would imagine. And they very much get each other's intonation at this stage. They know when one is winding down and the other one picks up.
Yeah.
The rooted in fact thing fascinates me, because I was thinking it was an hour plus, and it was a bit like the TV, the podcast version of Succession on telly. You know, you can't be taking toilet breaks or you've missed loads. You need to kind of rewind and catch up.
But because were you bothered to rewind, though? Were you bothered to rewind? That to me is a sign that I wasn't into it, because I kind of was doing that thing of filling the dishwasher, zoning out, and then going, oh, pick it. I actually don't care. Like, I that's really bad.
Yeah, but you're not invested enough.
I'm not invested enough. And I think it's because they're so meandering. And like, normally with true crime or even with Succession, anything, if I'm into it, I have the phone out and I'm Googling every single aspect of the story to try and get more information. But even though these are real cases, I just felt like it wasn't grounded in enough presentation. Now, maybe I'm just an absolute dork, and in fact there's no maybe in that sentence. I am an absolute dork, and I like to know that what I'm consuming is, like, if it's a drama, I need to know it's a drama. If it's being reported as a true crime thing, I need to know what's being told is true and based on
fact. And am I right in saying these are real life cases? Mm-hmm. These cases happened. These people are real. Sounds like an opening of some kind of documentary. But this is their commentary on it. So that's where it gets a little bit loose. Is that what you're thinking?
Blurb is. So the blurb of this podcast is, two friends break down theories and give their opinion on unsolved murders, controversies, mysteries and conspiracies. So it is. It's them kind of chucking their twopence in. But because they've been doing it for so long, they have built up this reputation and they are so highly regarded. Like, if you go onto Reddit about this podcast, they are so highly rated. But what's interesting is if you go into the reviews of the podcast, you know, on different podcast platforms, there are some people who just don't like them. And they feel, in some cases, now I haven't listened to every episode, but in some cases, the two books are slightly political, or you can hear their slant on things.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think is fine to a certain extent. But for me, I prefer true crimes that are expert-led and based, or journalistically led and based, because I think you, the listener, then walk away fully informed rather than that pub chat where you're just picking up somebody else's hot take and running with it, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Would you recommend it, Rory, for people who are into true crime?
Yes, I would, but I would be careful in the actual episodes that you are picking out, because there are some that do feel way more coloured by their opinion rather than like filled in with actual fact. Like, again, that museum heist one, you cut out where the clip cuts. The very next line is one of the hosts saying about how the guards might have been incompetent because they didn't want to put their lives on the line for the robbery, even though they had just given the line saying that they're not paid enough to do that job. So instead of saying, yeah, I fully understand, if you are underpaid, you might not be as invested in being a security guard. But instead he said, yeah, they probably were incompetent. So it's little moments like that where you're like, again, I understand that it's two friends who are discussing these things, and that's the atmosphere they want to cultivate. You're listening to two friends discuss and
where
have their opinions.
On their chat, yeah.
But too many people might then get coloured by their opinion and take their opinion as fact then.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Shay, interestingly, on the text line here, Americans regularly drive long distances compared with Irish drivers. So that could be their why in terms of the podcast being a bit drawn out. You know, they're more expecting of a long podcast, whereas we want all our information fast.
Yeah, but I love a long podcast. Like, one of the things that I loved about Serial was that some of the episodes were 45 minutes to an hour, and I love a long podcast. But you need to hold my attention.
Yeah.
And I think two people pontificating and sharing their thoughts and feelings about a true life murder case is not, it doesn't tick the box to me. I actually don't think I'd recommend it to true crime fans, because I think you'd get the hump with it.
Right.
Because I think you, the listener, the onus is on you, the listener, to go and fact check it, rather than it being presented in a way that you know the information you're getting is reliable. I think that's the difference between like people going out and doing up their own podcast versus news organizations. And obviously hashtag open to all, and it's great and all the rest, but it's just not my cup of tea entirely.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, like what Jess said is spot on. I would agree. I think it's interesting that it brings some very unique stories and puts them into the spotlight. Just like reading the headlines of the hundreds of episodes, there were so many huge, audacious and scary crimes that happened that I literally had no idea about. You are correct, Jess, in that you might have to fact check yourself, which isn't ideal if you just want to have kind of a passive listening experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think there are some gems in there. But there was one point again in that episode where they discussed that Netflix had already turned this story into a documentary. And in my head, I was like, I'll probably just watch that instead.
I actually had a moment of that during the one I listened to as well, because they referenced the documentary a couple of times. And I thought to myself, I've lost track of what you're saying now, 40 minutes in, because I'm trying to do five things at once.
Yeah.
So clearly I wasn't invested enough, I suppose. Mm. But I did think I'd sit down and watch the documentary, though.
Yeah. I wonder,
it's like they're doing an ad for.
Yeah,
they probably are. I wonder inadvertently.
If you go onto Google and maybe type in 10 best episodes of Generation Y, you might be able to cherry pick some of the best ones from their past and enjoy it that way, but maybe not as a regular listener.
Yes, I hear you. Okay, I love true crime. Someone says, if this isn't the best true crime podcast, what are some suggestions to try, says David.
What I'm listening to at the moment is, there's a podcast called If It Bleeds, It Leads. And it's hosted by Emilia Fox from the world of acting, but alongside Professor David Wilson, who's a criminologist and who used to be a governor in prisons in the UK. And they interview police officers, criminologists, psychologists, who talk about investigating crime and recount the stories of investigating those crimes. So if you're into factual, expert-led podcasts, If It Bleeds, It Leads is my recommendation.
Okay, that's a good one. Rory?
Yeah, I'd say go back to the classics if you haven't checked them out. Serial, S-Town, there's a few from back in the day that were huge for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Is there any of them running as long as that one, 2012?
I don't, like 12 years is a long time.
It?
Like it's impressive
it's
that they're still coming up with that many episodes, but nothing comes to mind about a true crime podcast that's been running consistently that long.
Yeah. Their presenting style is interesting, because on the text line, people either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Yeah, I think I completely get what they're going for. Those PAL podcasts do quite well. Like, if you look at any of the big ones here in the charts in Ireland, in the UK or in the US, that style does quite well. But for me, given the subject matter, it's just a bit too cash.
Yeah.
I don't love
it. Best true crime podcasts, Australian, The Teacher's Pet, The Lady Vanishes and Addictive.
Oh, what was
the... Of some of them.
The Bobby, you know, the one from the tortoise company about the guy...
She's scrambling,
Bobby.
The arms are in the air.
It's a UK podcast. So if you look at Tortoise Media, they had a brilliant podcast about a guy who, or a woman who essentially catfished her cousin.
Sweet Bobby?
Sweet Bobby. Thank you, Heather.
Heather.
Heather's,
I can't take
of
credit
the day,
for
everybody. Oh,
well,
sweet Bobby
producer
is great.
Heather,
there
for
you
that
go.
One. Jess Kelly and Rory Cashin, thank you very much for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.